Today's gospel comes to us as the first in a two-chapter section, Matthew 5 through 7, called the Sermon on the Mount. Most likely a collection of sermons, not one very long sermon, that are put together as sort of the core of Jesus' teachings. We're going to be there for the next 5 weeks. And I was talking this week to a friend of mine, and she reminded me about today's gospel and about Monty Python's Life of Brian. And it's been years since I've seen that movie, but I did vaguely remember the Sermon on the Mount. The one where the group of villagers is so far down the hill that they can't really hear anything that Jesus has to say. And they're not really listening, nor do they really care. And they're much more intent on making fun of one another, especially Big Nose. And they all really want to get to the stoning, because it'll be more fun. And Miss Gregory says, "I can't hear a word he is saying." And a spectator says, "I think it was blessed are the cheesemakers." Miss Gregory says, "Ah, what's so important about the cheesemakers?" And someone else says, "Well, obviously it's not meant to be taken literally. It refers to any manufacturer of dairy products." Now, as the week went on this week, I thought more and more about my friend and her quoting Monty Python. And I thought more and more about what that meant for the Beatitudes and for the Sermon on the Mount. And here's my reflection. Most of us in this room have been able to live a life of Christian privilege in a primarily Christian country. We have been able to stand at the bottom of the hill, like that group of listeners, and vaguely listen to the message of Christ far off, without really thinking about what that means or what it means for us. We've been able to stand at the bottom of the hill and not really act and not really listen and let someone else interpret for us what they think Jesus is saying. Now is not the time for that to happen. Read your Bibles. Read what Jesus has to say. And this week I was reminded that it is all of our responsibility to pick up your Bible, to listen, to learn, to get close up to that mount where you can hear Jesus' words. Jesus is not saying, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." He's saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers." He's not saying, "Blessed are those who hate." He's saying, "Blessed are the merciful." He's not saying, "Blessed is evil." He's saying, "Blessed are the good." And let me say that this week, out of all weeks in a long time, I tried to climb myself closer to that mount so I could hear Jesus' words and look for light and hope and love. And let me admit to you that as your priest, that was hard this week. That was hard for me. I was surrounded by heaviness, both in our community and abroad. I was surrounded with heaviness as I sat with Pat, one of our beloved church members, who has had 2 adult children die in the last 2 weeks. She was mourning, but was she comforted? Was she blessed? On Friday, I was at a bar when a friend of mine suddenly got up and left because his significant other had just read the executive order. She worked for Migration Ministries, Kentucky Refugee Ministries, a ministry that's funded by the Episcopal Church. Did she feel blessed for being merciful in that moment? Did she feel like a peacemaker? Did she know she was a children of God? On Saturday, I wondered, what about the airports and refugees and all those coming into our country who had given up their lives, who had already been persecuted, who had nothing on their backs except for probably a suitcase? Were they super excited that their reward was in heaven? And in the midst of my sadness in our parish and in the news and all around, the Beatitudes rolled over and over in my head. And Micah rolled over and over in my head. And I asked myself, what, Lord, can I give? What do you require of me? In the words that we read today, the Lord has told us what the Lord requires. To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Never noticed before this week that that's a question at the end of that statement. It's a rhetorical question. We know what God has told us to do, but it's a question. And I wondered, what does that look like? Does it look like letters and calls to my elected officials? Is that justice? Is sitting at the bedside of someone who is hurting, offering kindness? Am I walking humbly with God? How can I get closer to Jesus on the Mount? How can I get closer to hear what Jesus has to say for us? And then I found Jesus on the internet, as I often do, in a meme. And it wasn't really a meme. It was an icon, a very classic looking icon, similar to this one right here. Had a gold background. It was written with a lot of red. Jesus had a halo. Except this time, this was a little bit different because Jesus was located behind a barbed wire fence and he was peeking out. With one hand, he was holding barbed wire down, and with the other hand, he was offering a blessing. I don't know whether he was detained or whether he was trying to get to the other side of whatever was detained. But on further reflection, I found out that it is actually the cover of a book called Jesus in the Margins, a collection of icons and stories located together about where Jesus shows up in unlikely places. And underneath the caption of this icon of Jesus behind barbed wire was this statement. Wherever you choose to build walls, Jesus chooses the other side of where the need is. Wherever you choose to build a wall, Jesus chooses the side where the need is. And all of a sudden, the Beatitudes, which had been swirling around in my head, hit me. And they hit me because instead of wondering what the heck Jesus was talking about, or instead of sitting at the bottom of the hill thinking this didn't have anything to do with anybody, I realized I'm on the wrong side of the wall from where Jesus is. The Beatitudes aren't meant for me. They're not meant for me as I sit here in the comfort of my home with privilege and security and safety. I'm on the wrong side of the wall. And we're not going to figure out how to get up to that mountain to hear Jesus' words until we befriend somebody for whom the Beatitudes were meant. Jesus is with all of us. Sure, Jesus is with all of us. Jesus is here for all of us, but Jesus sits especially with those who are hopeless and need hope. For those who are well, do not need the physician. And over and over and over and over again, Jesus is going to stand on the side of the wall with those who are sick, the outcast, the orphan, the widow, the poor, the refugee. I don't mean to make a political statement this morning. I mean to make a Christ statement. Perhaps you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the one in Luke chapter 10 that begins with a lawyer asking, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus does as Jesus does and turns the question back around on him and says, "Well, what do you think?" The man says, "Well, I know. I know. I've been taught. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "Well, that's the correct answer." And wanting to justify himself, the man says, "But who is my neighbor?" And then we get the story of the Good Samaritan. The story about how the man was robbed on the road and left for dead, and the priest passed by and the person of his own religion passed by, but it was a Samaritan who saved him. It's Jesus' way of telling us that everybody is our neighbor and that we all need each other to save ourselves. And that the people whose religion or whose home country we do not like are here to show us mercy. It means that love your neighbor as yourself, one of the most fundamentally quoted parts of our Christianity, is not an empty promise. It means that we love our neighbor, all of them, not just the Jewish neighbor, but the Samaritan neighbor, not just the Christian neighbor, but the Iranian, the Iraqi, the Somalian, the Libyan, the Sudanese, the Yemen, the Muslim. We are called to love our neighbors. My guess is those Samaritans know something about the Beatitudes, about being poor in spirit, about being in mourning, about being persecuted. They probably know something about how to teach us to get to the heart of God when our spirits are so broken we can't get back up again. They can probably teach us how to get to the mountain and hear the Sermon on the Mount. And I have to admit that the closest I felt to Jesus this week were the times when I find myself on the other side of the fence, at the top of the hill, holding the hand of those who were sick, having compassion with the friend who had thought she had lost her job, praying over the picture of Alan Curdy, the 2-year-old child who washed up on the shores of Turkey last year, praying for those who were detained and the people who had to detain them. Those were the times when the Beatitudes made sense to me, when I was able to walk up on the hill and hear Jesus' words for what they are. These words are not for the privileged. They aren't for me. They belong to those who are poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted, those who desperately need to hear God's voice saying, "You are blessed, you are loved, you are holy, you are cared for, you are sacred, you matter, you are a child of God." That's where we're going to find Jesus. On the other side of the mountain, at the top of the hill, on the other side of the fence, giving blessing to the hungry and the poor and the persecuted. Mike is right. My job is to do justice and to love kindness. But my job, more importantly, is to walk humbly with God. So I hope this week for me and for you that we all might find ways to walk up to the mountain, to sit with Jesus, to look at those around us with compassion, and to hear God's voice clearly.